lady you're going to hear tonight is unbelievable to me. I picked her up at the airport yesterday, and today she's my sister. She not only has tremendous beauty and tremendous spirituality, she also has tremendous history in this program. I feel honored just to be sharing the same podium as she does. I got a chance to get her all to myself for an hour tonight, and I'm not going to spend too much time telling you how great she is, because the more time I spend telling you, the less time you'll hear for yourself. So it is with extreme pleasure and great honor that I introduce Liz B.
I wanted to tell the people there's a whole row of empty seats up front here if anybody wanted to sit down. Okay? I'd like to say good evening to each and every one. My name is Elizabeth Bailey. My anonymity has been shot to hell for a very long time. I'm called Liz in AA, and I stick to Liz. It sounds better than what I have been called. And I'm the most definite and grateful alcoholic you ever laid your eyes on. Hi to all of you. I want to first start off thanking you for your love and your warmth. And you're like a prayer being answered to me, because back in New York, I've been asking them not to let AA get cold. Because you see, you loved me until I could learn to love myself. I am used to the warmth and the love. I hope this fellowship never gets cold. I want to take this opportunity to thank Madeline, Tina, Julie, I believe it is. And there's so many names out here. I'd be standing up here running my mouth all night with just names. But I want to thank all of you that have heard me before. And I want to tell you, I didn't go out and get you a new story, because the one that I came in with was a Lulu. And I've stayed here to see that nobody has told me that it got better out there. Nobody has told me it's gotten better. So I want to stay here. I love staying here. There was a minister preaching. And he says, and before I talk, I want to thank Butch Quinn. Butch started me off with this last year. And Butch calls me quite a few times. I was his mother's sponsor. So that's how I knew Butch. And I came to Tennessee thinking I wouldn't know anyone, and I know quite a few of you. So that makes it even nicer. George and all, thank you all for being here tonight. But there was a minister preaching one time, and he says, if you drink alcohol, you're doomed to die. And a little old lady down front, she said, amen. He said, now if you smoke those cigarettes, you're doomed to die. And the little old lady, she said, amen. He said, now if you chew tobacco, she says, look at that. He's done stopped preaching and gone to meddling. So I'm going to go to meddling. I really am. I want to thank Pat for being here for me. When I met Pat this morning, I went totally crazy. I never expected to see Pat standing in Tennessee. But I guess you can see Pat standing most anywhere. But God knows I love you, Pat. I'm the oldest of five children. I was born in Brooklyn. I was raised in Manhattan on 163rd between Amsterdam and Edgecombe. My dad was a pitiful drunk. I'm not allowed to call anyone an alcoholic but myself. And I used to grieve about my dad's drinking. I watched a policeman hit him with billies. I watched the neighbors hit him with frying pans. I watched the blood spatter. And I watched him come out of Mother Cabrina Hospital wrapped like a mummy many, many times. When you hear me tell you I'm a grateful alcoholic, this is one of the reasons why I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'm ever grateful that I was in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous when my dad hung himself out at Central Islip. To this present moment, I don't believe that I could have accepted his death if I had been actively drinking. I love my dad with a passion. My mom, I've never seen her take a drink in my entire life. And for Pat and George and all of you that heard me before, I went around AA for many, many 24 hours wishing that I could give my mother two lousy drinks and bring her to hell into my program. I said she needed the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. She needed the whole thing. Believe me. My mom just passed away last March 31st, 3 days short of being 95. So, you know. Now, my mom made rice wine when I was 12 years old. This was my first drink and my first drunk. And as I look back, I was a stone alcoholic at 12 years old. I don't know anything about social drinking. Please don't ask me about crossing any lines. I've seen a hell of a lot of lines, but I don't know about crossing any. And she made this rice wine from in a big crockery, and she left myself and a little girl named Marion to sieve this rice wine through cheesecloth. Now, to show you the difference, Marion sieved and sipped two lousy drinks, and she went the hell on home. But I sieved and I sipped. And 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 I put on a drunk at 12 that was a drunk. And my mother lectured all night long. And I went out the next day snapping my fingers and telling my friends what a ball I had. And I don't remember what the hell happened. And that became the pattern of my life. If you didn't drink to get drunk and pass out, then you weren't saying too much for me. At the age of 14, I began to sell King Kong booze. I bought it from the man who made it in the bathtub on the next apartment, and I bought it by the gallon. And I was selling it for 40 cents a cream pitcher. You know the cream pitchers that we have. And someone suggested that I take mayonnaise, olive oil, butter, and cream. Line yourself up, Liz. When you can do that, you can sell plenty and drink plenty. You know how they tell you to eat a good meal? Well, let me tell you, that King Kong went all through the mayonnaise, the olive oil, the butter, the cream. So I stopped taking that sick stuff. And I drank me some booze, and I made me some good money. And at a certain hour, I had to be padlocked into a side room. Now, I live one flight up, and I'm laying out the window one night, and I see this sharp cat. Whoo, Lord have mercy, I almost fell out the window. He was just tipping on down the street, and he had a big roll of money. And I said, ooh, got me a live one, I got a live one. You know, I was always looking for a live one. And it was a $5 bill around and a lot of ones, you know. And I latched on to him anyway, and I started going down to the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And I don't know if you've ever been drunk and tried to walk straight. That's a hard job. And I used to turn the corner and go down and try to come up, and the neighbors would catch me and lecture, and my mother would catch me. I'm only 14. So I ran up to my mom one night, and I said to her, would you mind signing for me to marry this man? He happens to be 10 years older than me. Oh, no, dear, she says, over my dead body. That man will have you out in the street, and you'll live a terrible life with that man. Well, I found out something about myself at the age of 14. Don't you ever, but never, tell me what I can't do. Oh, no. Don't tell me what I can't do, because I'm going to do it if I have to pay every price. I paid a hell of a lot of prices. I thank God AA suggested everything to me. Because if AA hadn't suggested everything to me, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. This I know. I quit school at 14. I took sleep-in jobs. I was drunk every Thursday and Sunday. At the age of 17, I left New York with this very man. And I went to Baltimore, Maryland. And on the third day of January, 1939, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I was standing in the courthouse being married. And I was crying my heart out. And the minister stopped my wedding ceremony. He says, my dear young lady, would you mind telling me just what you're crying about? I said, well, at last I got him. I'm going to be honest with every one of you in this room. That was the sorriest day of Mr. Bailey's life when he said, I do, to Liz Ulrich, because that man never stopped crying from January 3rd, 1939, till he went home with the Lord August the 12th, 1986. That was the sorriest day of his life. And I came back to New York with that marriage license just a flying. No more mama, no more neighbors. Nobody was going to tell me how to live. I done got this cat. Now, I'm 67. Could you all picture what I was at 17? Woo! Lord, have mercy. Woo! Woo! Lord. I'm 17, honey, and got me a husband, and I'm going to paint New York red. I'm going to tear it up now. Got back to New York. My husband gave up every liquor joint. He gave up gambling. He gave up hustling. He gave up going to parties, and he sat down. And I became a mental case at the age of 17. Because here I am, raring to go, and he's sitting. And he sat from January 3rd, 1939, till he went home with the Lord, August the 12th, 1986. And I couldn't take that sitting down. Oh, no. So I started to nurse my little drinks through the week. I began to look forward to weekend drunks, and I began to also ground me up friends with kegs of beer and bottles of booze. I knew where I was going 8 weekends in a row. Now I watched a change come over me. Now I'm cursing. Every word came out of my mouth was a curse word. Now I'm fighting everybody and everything. Now I watched another great change. I began to leave my house from one day to 3 weeks at a time. Watching me go down. I'm watching me go down. Many, many people pull me up on the carpet. Why do you drink the way you do? Why do you act the way you do? You have a beautiful home. You have 3 beautiful children. I had a house. It wasn't a home. I had every material thing any woman ever wanted. Mr. Bailey happened to be a furrier by trade, girls. And when I had periods of dryness, he would make me another fur coat. I had fur coats like beans. And you know, one year he made me the most gorgeous leopard coat you ever laid your eyes on. He threw a party for the job, and he brought this coat home, and he threw it out on my bed. And I looked at that leopard coat, and I hated it. And I said he made it so he could spot me anywhere. And I gave it away. I wouldn't even dare wear it. And girls, I wished I had it in sobriety many a time, believe me. Now I watch myself. I'm putting holes in the walls. I'm burning up furniture. I'm breaking up furniture. And one of my neighbors pulled me up on the carpet. And she says, you know, I'm very much ashamed to live next door to somebody like you. She says, I bought this house to get away from people like you. She said, would you mind telling me what's the matter with you? And I says, oh, Jimalee, I suffer with my nerves. And Jimalee suggested that I drink rum. Isn't that nice? And I left Jimalee standing in my little bitty kitchen. And I ran around to the Empire Liquor Store, and I bought a bottle of rum. I'm still waiting for one of you drunks to tell me how in the hell did I wake up in Briarcliff, New York, with the bottle of rum when I live in Jamaica. Till this day, I don't know how I arrived in Briarcliff, New York. A beautiful lady named Wig took me in off the streets up there into her home, and I became a booze fighter in Briarcliff, New York. I would get up in the morning and I'd put a shot in my coffee and I'd call it Coffee Royal. And I would hide the lousy bottle. I don't care where I hid it, I found it because I didn't want it to leak. Jesus, don't be leaking, you know, don't leak. And every time I found it, I took a swig. So by the time the lady came home from work, I'd be so drunk, she didn't know what to do for me. She sat me down in front of the fire one night. And she said, you know, Liz, you're a lovely person. She said, but drinking is your problem. She said, I put my husband out of here for his drinking. And she talked and she talked and she filled me so much of guilt and remorse, I wanted to die. Because now I'm up in this godforsaken country. I don't know where I am. I'm fighting the booze. I'm away from my 3 children. And so I decided to sit in the Catholic church all day. I'm not going to touch a drink today. I'm going to peel this lady's potatoes tonight. I'm going to get this lady's dinner started. Well, at 4 o'clock, I walk out of the church. Now, you drunks live this with me because you've done it. And I walk out of the church. I go right over across in the bar. and I say to the bartender, give me one to relax. I'm going to peel this lady's potatoes tonight. Give me two to get started, because I've got to really peel her potatoes tonight. Now, when I drank, they gave a third free drink, and you do not walk out on a free drink. That is not nice. That is not nice. No, no, you just don't do that. And then I have to buy one back to look good. It's so important that I look good. I don't know about you. And then when I get to the fourth or the fifth drink, the hell with her and her potatoes. Let's roll. So you know the lady never got any potatoes from me, don't you? Well, I came back to my house on one cold winter night. And usually when I come back, after being away a week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks, you'd see Mr. Bailey throwing me out the front door in shopping bags and brown bags. And I'm now sleeping in unfinished basements, and the people are screaming at me, don't drink down there and don't smoke down there. And I'd go back and take care of my children in the day. But I found out that if I came in fighting, I could get in. I'm wrong as hell, but if I come in fighting, I got in every time. So I'd charge up a block ahead, you know, and I'd come in so I could get in. And that's how I got in back from after being in Bride Cliff. I continued to drink, and I watch me continually. Now I'm beginning to hit Mary Immaculate Hospital. I will never suggest that you girls fry a frozen chicken drunk. Please don't do that. I knocked the grease over and burned up both of my legs. Broken fingers. If you see, my arms are all cut up from putting my hands through window plate glasses. When you fall down the basement steps and I saw Mr. Bailey step over me and go to work, I swore he whipped me till I came to AA. The man never touched me, just stepped over me and went to work. Because I had fell down the stairs. Never touched me. And now the good sisters in Mary Immaculate are constantly patching me up. And they're saying to me, Mrs. Bailey, will you please come to an alcoholic clinic on a Tuesday morning? It went in this ear and out that ear. And I took every situation and problem in my life to Sutton's Bar and Grill on 177th Street and Jamaica Avenue. That's where you could find me. I continued to drink, and one morning I woke up so sick and tired of being sick. I had been beaten to a pulp for a couple of good times where I couldn't come out of my apartment for a couple of weeks at a time. I was beaten so bad because I'm nasty now in my drinking. And I remember this particular morning, I got up and I took BC's, I took Anacin's, I put a raw egg in the beer. I did everything to straighten my head out. My head was coming off my body. And I grabbed the Bible from my night table. And I figured maybe I can find the answer in the Bible, how to straighten this rotten, filthy life of mine up. And Mr. Bailey spotted me with the Bible as he passed my room. And he's screaming, put that Bible down, you hypocrite! Put it down! In 20 minutes to an hour, you'll be so drunk, you'll be slapping a kid down. And you know, he was so right. Nobody but nobody got in the way of me getting a drink. And I'm going to inject this in here right now, because I mean this with every fiber that's in my body. Nobody but nobody gets in the way of me staying sober. The same difference. And I really mean that. I mean that. I really mean it. I really do. And he had his mouth going that morning. And he was right. The kids would get slapped down. He says, oh, you'll be hopping a cab. And the cab drivers used to say, please take somebody else's cab. It took me 3 days to clean up my cab behind you. And I'm wondering, who the hell does he think he is? I paid 50 cents to get in that cab. Don't tell me who to take, or I would be swinging a corner. This is the first time I thought about taking my life. I literally ran and jumped up into the second floor window. And as I went to throw my body down into the yard, because I want out, I want out. I'm so tired of being sick. There's a little lady named Nana Backer. She's standing down in the yard, and she spots me. Now, if there's any priests, clergy people in here, please forgive me for what I'm getting ready to say. But as I went to throw my body down into the yard, she started to screaming, Mr. Bailey! Mr. Bailey! You better get her! She's gonna jump! And I saw his head come out the kitchen window, which is next to the one I'm standing in. And then I seen his hands come out, and he says, Nana, will you let that bitch jump? He says, I'll be rid of all my problems, all my troubles. Please let that bitch jump. And I looked over at him, and I wanted to know, who the hell did he think he was? I guarantee every one of you, I got down out of that window, I got back into that bed, and I pulled the sheet over me and slept that one off. He should have suggested that I jump. I'd have been gone, see? But I continued to drink, and I continued to do insane things. And I went out and had a lousy $2 beer drunk. And when I came in, he says, you know, Liz, you're drunk again and no dinner. And I says, man, don't argue with me when I'm drinking. Please don't. That means shut your mouth, period. I'm drunk all the time. I don't want to hear you. See me up to the bed, please. I remember he walked me 3 steps. And when I came to, I was stretched out on a bench. A policeman was at the foot of me. People were walking around on the ceilings. And a big man standing in the door was doing like this to me. It took me 3 days to find out I had hit Kings County. Took another 3 days to find out I had tried to kill Mr. Bailey in the blackout, because I totally blacked out when I got on that 3rd step going up to the bedroom. And it took another 3 days for me to see that I had smashed up everything in my apartment. Oh, everything was just smashed. So when he came to bring me home from the hospital, I said, listen, don't lay down. Just don't lay down. I'm going to get you if you lay down. And you know, he sat up in chairs for 3 nights. You don't blame him, do you? Because I'm crazy. I might have gotten him if he laid down. And so again, I continued to drink. I continued to do insane things. My children used to tell me, Ma, you did this and you did. I said, why are you lying on me? You must be lying on me. I could not have done that. I was always on my knees to Mr. Bailey, too. I wore that song out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I wore it out. Because I was sorry for the things that I was doing. And the guilt and the remorse almost killed me so many times. And so I remember Mr. Bailey came to me one night. And he says, you know, you're the loveliest wife when you're sober. Drunk, you're a Jekyll and a Hyde. Why don't you try this, AA? When you desire a drink, run over to the phone, pick up the phone, and call someone to talk you out of the drink. I'm not going into the flowery words of what I said to Mr. Bailey, because cursing is my character defect, and I really can't stand here and tell you that I'm perfect in that department yet, but I have progressed to do better, okay? But I think every one of you know what I told him to do with AA, don't you? All right, well, you know what I told him. And he walked away from me because Dr. Graninger had said to him, I want you to go home and tell Mrs. Bailey she's either going to drink herself to death, she will drink herself into a mental institution, or she will drink herself into Alcoholics Anonymous. And once you tell her that, keep your big mouth shut and take care of Mr. Bailey. Well, praise the Lord and hallelujah and amen. The man never, but never mentioned AA again to me. In the next 8 to 10 months, I've never been able to pinpoint it. It's not important, but I watched myself go totally down. I'm going to tell you now about my last drink and drunk. I'm drinking with hard two-fist drinkers in the VFW hall on 110th and Merrick Road. I could never stand anybody who took a drink or two and went home, because you see, once I picked up a drink, I left home. I didn't stay there. And no, because see, I wanted to drink in peace. I couldn't do it with your silent treatment or your mouth going. And please don't mark my bottle. I would go stoting crazy if I saw you had a mark on my bottle, because I'd go get another, drink that up and get another fifth and put it up to the line, so I had a whole fifth anyway, right? And don't cook bacon and eggs if I'm coming off a drunk. Please don't. That's exit for me. I can't stand bacon and eggs. I have to go. And I remember the phone rang, and it was one of the men from the Post, and I just heard his voice, and I banged the phone up. And he called me back the second time. I said, oh, come on, man, don't bug me. There's a lady coming here. I haven't seen her since I'm 8 years old, and I really want to see this lady. And I took the phone and banged it up the second time. I remember going around to the store, and when I came back, he was on the phone for the 3rd time. He said, Liz, do me a favor. Hop a cab. I'll introduce you to the people. I'll put you back in the cab, and I'll send you home to your company. I figured, well, let me do that, because he's going to drive me up a wall today. He's not going to let me stay here. I haven't seen this lady since I'm 8 years old, and I really wanted to see her. And I also know me now. I remember walking the streets one day, going to buy my baby a playpen. And I met a guy, and he says to me, come on, Liz, let's have a drink. I says, oh, man, leave me alone. I'm going to buy my baby a playpen. He said, one drink won't hurt you. I said, don't bug me. I want to buy this kid a playpen today. Well, we walked another couple of blocks, and I got in front of Patty's bar, and the bar pulled me in. My baby's 40 and haven't got the playpen till yet. Because that's the kind of stuff that I did. I started out doing good all the time, but it went to by the way. And so I remember this day that I grabbed a cab and I went over to the post. Well, the booze started lining up and the jukebox is going and I'm singing, you always hurt the one you love, the one you don't want to hurt at all. Give me another drink. I could sing them old Weeping Harry songs and give me another drink. Well, I'm 67 years old and I haven't seen Miss Lindbaum to yet. I forgot what the lady even looks like, because when I woke up, I was in one of my son's twin beds. And at the foot of this twin bed stood my mother over here and Mr. Bailey over here. And my mother was screaming to the rooftops, somebody done something to her. Somebody done something to her. And Mr. Bailey's got his head going like this, and he's saying, no, Mom, no, Mom, nobody has done anything to her. She happens to be a very sick girl. Well, he didn't call me bitch. You know my name was bitch, right? Yeah, but he didn't call me bitch. He said I was sick. And something went all over me when he said I was sick. I got up out of that bed, and I went to the basement of that house. I stayed in the basement for 2 days praying to die. I looked over at my oldest son, and I said, Richard, I'm going to go up on the Long Island Railroad. I'm going to jump in front of a train. I want to end it all. Look at this. You can't depend on me for anything. And I started screaming, oh, God, please help me. I have never screamed to God so as I did that night in the basement. And something said to me just as clear, try this AA that your father has told me about. I took the telephone books down off a metal cabinet I had. I called AA, but they didn't have anyone to send me. I got myself together, and I went into Manhattan at 28th Street and Lexington Avenue. Some of you might remember that Intergroup was one flight up over a bar. And I got in the vestibule, and I said, to hell with AA. Then I said, no, you take buses and trains, and you've run a couple of blocks. Try to get up those stairs again. And as I got up to the middle of the landing, and I started to turn to go down into the bar, a lady looked down the steps at me, and she says, are you having trouble? And I said, yes, ma'am. And I started running up the stairs to her. She escorted me into the front part of the office, and she sat down, and she sat me down, and she started to tell me about herself, where she got this scar and this. And I'm saying, oh, my God, I got goose pimples and chills. I started to fall off the chair. Because, you know, who talks about themselves like that? My mother always taught me, don't go out and tell people about the fights in your house. Don't tell anybody where you got the black eye or the busted mouth. And keep it in your house. Put it in a drawer, under the rug, in a closet. And this woman kept talking. And I said, why don't she put this stuff in a garbage can and make sure she got a lid on it? You know, because I would never tell you about me before AA. I didn't have time anyway, but, you know. And she turns to me and she says, you know, Liz, it's the first drink. I says, oh, come on, sweetie, I've been drinking for 19 years. She said, Liz, when you take one drink of any type of alcohol, it is only a matter of time that a compulsion sets up into you that you have to go all the way. She hit me. I've seen myself take two drinks on a Monday, great. Two lousy drinks on a Tuesday, you're looking for me. Wednesday, I would go to Gert's department store, buy a whole fifth. I drank the whole fifth, nothing happened to me. Oh, man, I done found the brand I can drink. Woo! You know I ran back Thursday and got me another bottle, don't you? Friday, I'm knitting without needles. Have any of you knitted without needles? walking up and down, knitting without needles, I'm telling you. And I'm on my knees bringing up that green bile, and I've got to go get that drink to get me back in focus. And she gave me the choice of two meeting places, South Jamaica or Jamaica. And I chose South Jamaica, St. Benedict's de Moor, because it was closer to my home. And I said, oh, I can't go there. The priest will see me. I said, so what? My children went there, and I said, you know, if it's in the church, it must be for something good. So I finally had my hair done. I don't know if any of you ever had your hair get drunk when you got drunk. And I used to have my hair get drunk right along with me. So my beautician was so happy to fix my hair. And I bought a little two-piece blue suit. And I could never find clothes that Mr. Bailey gave me money for, you know. I always had to drink up the money because I never found the dress that I wanted. And I walked to my first AA meeting. And there were two girls behind the coffee counter, and I'm only mimicking them. I'm not making fun of them. And they looked up at me, and they said, you don't look like an alcoholic. I said, what the hell did I get myself into? And let me get the hell out of here. And I started running out of that AA room. When I got to the door, they always had two people stand at the door, and this man, yeah, we didn't. That was the last resort when I came. When then here lately we have detoxes and halfways, we have so much. But as I'm going out, he slaps me over here on the shoulder and he says to me, what's the matter with you? Where are you going? I said, those girls said I don't look like an alcoholic. I don't know what an alcoholic looks like. But I'm about to lose my mind, my home, my children, and everything through drinking. He said, have a seat, sweetie. You in the right place. And they put two of these tables together that night, and each one of the members sat around, and they shared their strength, their hope, and their experience with me. But for the grace of God, but for the grace of God, Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Al-Ateen, Al-Atat, OA, PA, NA, EA, FA, the only A I've turned down is Sex Anonymous. I refused to go to Seattle, Washington to talk about my sex life. I didn't want it on tape across the United States because I have a family yet, you know. If I live till July the 11th, and that's 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks from now, I will be celebrating 36 years away from my last drink. Thank you. I came into these rooms July the 11th, 1952, at the age of 31. I was really 13 years old. I was mentally, physically, and spiritually beaten to a bottom that I could not go any lower. I adopted myself the toughest sponsor in the world because I remember the lady at Intergroup told me to get a sponsor and make meetings, 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 meetings. And so I made 7 meetings a week. And I'm very grateful that I picked a tough sponsor. If she had been a soft one, she would have pushed me out the door. And when I'd whine and cry to her, she'd say to me, listen, Liz Bailey, AA don't need you, but you need AA. And then I'd whine and cry to her some more, and she'd say, sit on the pot or get up off it. And she didn't say it that nice either, you know. And I'm so grateful. She was my sponsor, Flo Melody, for 28 years till she went home with the Lord. And I still talk about Flo. She played such a part in my life. I have another sponsor now who has 15 years of quality sobriety. I will not be in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous without a sponsor, because we can do together what I could never do alone. And I owe so much to this committee and other committees for my sobriety. There's one beautiful thing that you taught me that I'll ever be grateful for as long as I draw a breath. You told me not to get sober for anybody else but for myself. You told me not to do it for my mother. Now, if I had to stay sober for my mother, I would have been drunk, 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 drunk. My mother did not like me telling you I was an alcoholic. She'd rather say, good morning, Reverend Bailey, how are you? And where are you speaking at next, Reverend Bailey? and I never argued with that precious lady. But it took her 29 and a half years to tell me to stay with them A's, whatever they are. And I don't plan to leave these A's either. I learned that I can't. Mr. Bailey could never take me from the day that I walked into AA. He thought that I was supposed to sit at home, and when I desired a drink, you were supposed to come and run and talk me out of the drink. But he didn't realize that I had to get up and clean myself up and get in the cars and make meetings, 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 meetings. And he, every time I started out the door, if anybody's Jewish in here, he'd say, look at that Meshugnan cup one. He'd call me, there goes the crazy one. And he would tell me, you're all there because you're not all here, and I'd want to kill him. But the longer I stayed sober, he was right, okay? And I used to blame Mr. Bailey for my being an alcoholic. But the longer I stayed sober, I realized that I was an alcoholic way before I met Mr. Bailey. So I had to stop blaming him for my alcoholism. And for many years, I've stood on these platforms and told you how much I love Mr. Bailey, because I would always love him. He took care of the children, the house. He kept everything together while I was in the streets of New York. He could have cashed it all in. 2 years ago, I went back to Mr. Bailey to take care of him in his last days, because you taught me another beautiful thing. You taught me that real love looks for nothing in return. I'm ever grateful that you taught me that real love looks for nothing in return. Because I was the gal in the streets of New York that wouldn't do anything for you unless I was going to get something back from you. And that was my past life. And so Mr. Bailey, in his last days, was very happy with me. And one day in the hospital, he asked me to take his hands. And he said, you know, Liz, I really love you. And I said, wow, I got it. It took me 47 years, girls, but I got it. Okay. Oh, God. My oldest son still hasn't forgiven me. And he lets me know that he'll never forgive me or forget me for my past. And I had to come into AA and learn how to forgive myself. As I said to Tina tonight, I was very ignorant as far as alcohol was concerned. When I came up, everything around me was alcohol. If I came to visit you, you didn't say hello. You say, what you drinking? And if I had a headache or toothache or if I was depressed, you offered me blueberry wine or you offered me gin or you offered, like my neighbor, offered me rum. It was always somebody was handing a drink around me. So I didn't know about drink. I was even selling liquor at an early age. We called it house rent parties. And so again, I had to learn to forgive me, and I found a God in AA. It took me 5 years to find God in AA, and you know the God that I found has forgiven me 70 times 7. And I say this very strongly. Any man, any woman, any child wants to hold my past over my head, I must let it be their problem. And I love Richard, and one day Richard will come back to me too. And I will throw him a party. I won't put any diamonds on his fingers, though, but I'll throw him a party because I really love him. My second son was a drug addict and an alcoholic. And he was the one that was always very good to me coming off a drunk. He'd have the pan ready, and he would nurse me back with soups and salads. And I would say to Dennis, Dennis, the right road may be hard, but you'll be the winner. You young people, listen to me. There is pain to gain. There is fight for the victory. And the easy road, the price is heavy. And I used to say that to Dennis all the time. Dennis was shot and killed June 25th, 18 years ago, at 2 o'clock in the morning. And he left a beautiful wife and two children. I do not cry for Dennis because I would disturb his beautiful spirit. And I know one thing, Dennis enjoyed my sobriety. I have an older daughter that I stopped drinking when she was 5 years old. And she, thank God, she doesn't remember me as an active alcoholic. And she's had 4 mental breakdowns. This week I had been kind of thinking she's coming down again. But I've been doing the AA principles, been really talking some AA stuff to her this week. And I hope that she'll be all right because I have her son back again. I raised him as a baby. And I got him in my 60s. And I was standing on this platform asking you women, how did Sarah have a baby at 90? Because I was having a hard time in my 60s. But I raised those two children for her for 4 years, and I've just given them back to her 3 years ago. But I'm sure that God will look out for Judy because she has a God within her. Of course, now I have an AA baby that's 32 years old. And I named her after AA. Her name is Adrian Anita. Because without AA, that chick would have never been around. You know that. And about 11 years ago, she changed to be a Muslim. And she lives in Boston. And she wears the shroud and she covers her beautiful face. And we both walked into the AMP. I had a black hat on, a black coat. And the cashier says, "Oh, it's a stick-up, it's a stick-up." Jesus, I got hysterical laughing. I went to the floor of the AMP in such hysterics. And coming back on the subway, she speaks so proper since she's in Boston. She says, "Mother, are you accepting me as a Muslim?" I said, "Well, you join Hinduism, Buddhism. I really don't care whose ism, as long as it helps you to be a better person. As you know, I'm through raising my children." And, you know, again, I have 10 grandchildren. I see them by appointment only. April 1st, I became a great grandmother, which I never dreamt that I'd see myself be a great grandmother. I've gone up and had 8 operations in 22 years of sobriety. I've been cut to pieces in sobriety. And I went up and had 3 operations in 6 weeks. And the doctor looked at me and he says, "You've got cancer." And he says, "I'm only going to give you another 6 months to live." And I said, "Please don't talk to me like that." I was 46 years old at the time. I said, "Because you see, I live a program that says one day at a time. And you can see I'm over 20 years an arrested cancer patient and my motor's running fine." So. Years ago, I had a heart attack, and I laid in LaGuardia Hospital for 5 weeks, and they cut me from ear to ear. They took 2 glands out. I couldn't speak, and I said, "Lord, if you don't want me to speak anymore, it's okay." But you see, he wants me to speak, because I have to stand up here and say, "Cool it," because you can hear me way back there. And I've seen people come up half their chairs when I really let go. Woo! And I have to say, "Cool it," to myself up here. But I found the key to my life. It took me 20 years in AA to find this key. And that is to seek God first in His kingdom and His righteousness for all things to be added unto me. Stop shoving Him in between people, places, and things. And now I get up and say, "Good morning, God," instead of saying, "Oh, God, it's another morning." And I haven't had a sick day in 16 years now, not a sick day. Because it's good morning, God. And again, I had to take all my scars and turn my scars into stars. Because at one time I couldn't accept being cut to pieces drunk and sober. One of my friends is an insurance agent. And he came out from work and pocket full of money. And a guy said to him, "Stick him up." He said, "Man, don't you see I got a disease?" And the guy ran from him. He said, "Liz, he didn't even wait for me to tell him I'm an alcoholic, you know?" And I love that. Because I remember when I came into AA and I said to Mr. Bailey, "What am I going to tell my friends when they ask me to have a drink?" He said, "Oh, tell them you got a disease." I said, "Like hell I'm running around telling people I got a disease." And I said, and then I looked in my dictionary and it means dis-at-ease with oneself. I readily tell you, I have the disease of alcoholism. I admit, I accept, and I surrender to the fact that I am an alcoholic. I have no choice to pick up a drink. I have a choice about many other things, but not to drink if I want to live this fantastic life. I came to believe in a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And that meant that I've had to do a lot of changing in my thinking and my actions of living. I made a decision one day to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understood Him. Again, I've taken that fearless inventory many, many times. The longer I'm sober, the more comes to the surface. Today I can admit to God to myself and another human being the exact natures of my wrongs. I must do that if I want to be free. And I'm going to say something nice to you before I close. I'm free, free at last. Woo! Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. Woo! Yes, 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 I'm free. Free, free. Yes, 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 free, free. Yes, indeed. Yes. Thank you. I'm going to close with this now. I want to run through this. You know, I had to ask God to help me with my character defects and with my shortcomings. I've made amends to my loved ones. Thank God for that. There's only one person in 36 years that I haven't made amends to, and that's my bartender. I sent his children to college. I bought him the finest Cadillacs that went up and down Jamaica Avenue. And I just want to take one of you drunks to Vermont and show you the house I bought him. It would injure me to give him. And the place closed down when I stopped drinking there, too. It hasn't been there in 36 years. Today, when I'm wrong, I promptly admit it. And when I'm right, I try to shut up. Each and every day, I put God first through prayer and meditation. And I've had many spiritual experiences, but the most gorgeous spiritual awakening is that I see things differently today. And my values have changed. I still try to carry a message. I don't tell anybody I carry a message. I try to carry a message. And I do practice these principles in all my affairs. I'm called weird many times by strangers, but I'm not weird to you because you know what I'm speaking about. I want to express my deepest love to all the committee, to every one of you that is in this auditorium this evening. I want to thank you for your love. It's your love that has kept me here. Your love has saved me through all my trials and tribulations. I cannot say that I've come alone. And if I, Liz Bailey, can just touch one somebody, I was hoping to touch Catherine over this weekend, and I'm going to pray very hard that Catherine makes this beautiful way of life for herself. And I, Liz Bailey, can just reach one someone in this lifetime of mine, then I, Liz Bailey, I have not lived in vain. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Liz. Another beautiful Eskimo in my life. And let me tell you something, when that lady talks, I listen. I don't know about you. I'm very happy and honored to be here tonight, and I was so overjoyed to be able to introduce Liz. I'd like to turn the meeting over now to Jennifer.
Thanks, Madeline. Before I close, my little spiel of announcements. There are tapes immediately following being made as we speak. They're $4 a piece. If you get a set of six, you get $3 off the price. Square deal. How does that sound, Liz? I've been practicing. Okay. This is the Lord's Prayer. So nervous. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Keep up.